should have maybe announced a little earlier. The well has been broken into, and we don't know all the ramifications or the complete damage that has been done there, but we do know that some of the things were taken and some of the wiring taken out of there. We have to remember that in prayer, that the perpetrators would be caught and restitution would have to be made. But it shows that even the house of God or a religious church or facility can be broken into, and people will do that if they think there's something of value that they can get or take for whatever reason. Also, Nellie called, well, she's called me a few times the last couple days, and her temperature has run anywhere from 100.4 to 103.1 or 2, and they have given her some medication to try and keep the temperature down. It's an infection that she's had before, and it seems to be taking more of a toll on its mark than it had recently. She's gone quite a while without it, without having the infection, and now she got it and she ended up back in the hospital. So keep her in prayer also on that, as well as the other people that we may have in our hearts and minds. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 16, verses 23 through 28. It's a continuation of what we have been speaking on, and so let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. And so we are kind of ending up to this portion of this scripture itself. John chapter 16, verses 23 through 28. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The things I have spoken to you figuratively or in parables, language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language or parable language, but I tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We look at this portion of Scripture, and as same as last time, we've seen that Jesus said he was going to send a comforter. And sending that comforter, he says it will convict the world of sin. And that's a rejection of Jesus Christ as the one that has come into the world to redeem the world, of righteousness, because Christ goes to the Father and he sends a comforter to us to help us as Christians and as believers to have Christ and to follow the way God would want us to do. Of judgment, because the judge of this world, or Satan himself, had been judged and found guilty over and over in all of the things he did or has done or will do. And yet Satan continues to fight on, trying to destroy what God has created and what God has redeemed for himself. So we see Jesus now speaking to his disciples, and he says, you know, you're sorrowful because I said I'm going away. And because you are sorrowful, you do not ask me anything. But do you realize that God sent me here in the first place, that I came and I lived for 33 years in this world without sin? I was sinless when I came, and I am sinless when I go out. Yet I have come to reconcile all people back to God by taking and paying that penalty of sin and having the sin of the whole world put on me on the cross. And there is where I will defeat Satan again, and his kingdom will come to an end. Will it come to an end immediately? No, it hasn't. We see Satan is still in the world, and he's still trying to get us to reject the work that Christ did on the cross. We see that he's still there trying to get us to reject believing in Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us. In the Old Testament lesson, as we read earlier, we see in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of fear or of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And this is what God did. He sent Jesus into the world to give us a future and a hope, because Christ came, he broke the bondage of sin. He broke that bondage and led us out of the prison house of sin. And he has taken then and showed us that as he died on the cross of Calvary, that he did this for you and for me. So we see that so very plainly. In James, as we would look, and James was talking to the Jewish Christians of that day that had been scattered throughout the world. And as he told them, he says, "You know, many of you are scattered throughout the known world, and you have Jesus, and you believe that he came and is the Son of God. Now, we want you to not only be hearers of the word, but we want you to spread what Christ did for you, what he has given his life for you, that he is the Savior of the world, that he came and paid that price of sin for each one of us." And so he says, do not be hearers only, but be doers. If we don't understand what we should know, we can ask God liberally, and he'll give it to us in James chapter 1. And he will give it to us not doubting, that we should not doubt that God will give it to us. Now Jesus is telling his disciples, "You have asked me for nothing in my name." You see, when I go and you pray to God the Father, you can come to him and you can tell him you need these things to further his kingdom and to further his glory, to further everything he wants you to do on earth. In my name, we will give it to you, because it'll glorify the God the Father, and your joy then would be full in knowing that you are doing God's will, that you are doing the will that God has sent you into the world to do, whether it's at a local job or in your own business, or if you are doing some other type of work, that God would be seen in you and glorified because you have let your light so shine before men, and you have not taken and put it underneath a bushel and tried to hide it. You see, it reminds me sometimes of the man that had accepted Christ, and he was a new Christian, or a recently reborn Christian, and he went out and he was going to go into the woods with a bunch of lumberjacks, and people says, "Remember, you are a Christian. Remember to take God with you." And he says, "I will not forget." In the fall, when he came back, his friends and the church wanted to know, "How did it go with you out in the woods with these lumberjacks?" Because the lumberjacks are known as a rough and tumble bunch of people, and they have no regard for Christ or the work, but they want to cut the trees down and make themselves some money. And he says, "Oh, it went fine." And they says, "You mean to say they didn't criticize you for being a Christian?" Well, he says, "I never told them." You see, Christ tells us. He says, if you deny me, or if you hide that you're a Christian and you don't want nobody to know it, so you act just like everybody else in the world, you know, you're denying me. And if you deny me, I will deny you before the angels in heaven and before God my Father. But if you confess me before people here on earth, and whether it's your friends or your workers or whoever it is, and you confess me and you believe in your heart, and then you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I've been raised from the dead, I will confess you before God the Father and his holy angels, and you will have a reward in heaven waiting for you. You see, God has told us, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. God says, I know what you're thinking. You cannot hide from me. I am everywhere. And David, when he wrote, he says, you know, if I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. If I go to the furthest winds, ends of the wind, you are there. You see, we cannot hide from God the Father. He knows our every whereabouts, and he knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our thoughts, and he knows what we're thinking. So many times we find that we want to do things our own way. And we find that instead of asking God to help us or saying, Lord, help me to do your will in your way and in your time, giving you all the glory and giving you all the honor, because I am only a sinner saved by grace, and I am the one that you freed on the cross when you died there for me. You know, if we were to go to some country or even to Washington and we wanted to say we wanted to meet the president and we wanted to walk in there, we would be met with bodyguards and probably arrested. And they would say, you can't do this. You need a special invitation. Christ has given us that invitation. He has invited us to accept his work, that he came from heaven, that he was in humility here on earth, and he lived here for 33 years without sin. Now he's going back to heaven, according to Scripture, at that point in time, and he's going to be exalted above every name in earth and in heaven because he gave his life for us on the cross. And God has given him all power. He says, God gave me the power and the command. I could lay my life down and I can take it up again. And he did that on the cross, being killed on the cross and rising again the third day. So we see God has given all power over to Christ. Christ says, I have won the victory over death, and I have won the victory over the grave. Yet we find that until the fullness of time comes, we have to live our physical life here on earth. How are we living it? Are we living it so that we call upon God and call upon Christ in Christ's name? We can come to God the Father. As I was saying, if you were going to visit some very important person, you would need a special invitation. Yet Christ giving us that invitation, and on the cross, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. And in that, it tells us then we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And in coming boldly to that throne, we can come directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, requesting from God the things we need to glorify him and to uphold his name before the people. Not to glorify ourselves, not to make ourselves look good, but to do it so that the name of Christ and Christ alone goes throughout the world. Christ is now making intercession for us, yes. And as he makes intercession for us, he is doing that and he's saying, God, to God the Father, I died for their sins. And as I have made intercession for them, I am doing this, and Satan is there trying to tell God the Father that you and I are sinful from nature. Therefore, we have no right in heaven. Yet Jesus says, I died for their sins. They believe in their heart, and they confess me with their mouth. And because they do that, they are doing this, and I will confess them before you, Father, and before the holy angels in heaven, that I died for their sins. Yet we know that if we reject Jesus Christ, we will end up in eternal hell and eternal damnation because we have rejected Christ, as we talked about last week. And we find, too, that as God loves us because we have loved Jesus, and Jesus says, because you have loved me, I will take and proclaim you before God the Father. And if we were to look back even on in chapter 14, starting with verse 21, it tells us this: He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, if we love Christ, we will keep his commandments, and we will want to live for him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him in the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 23, it goes on and it says, Jesus said to them again, to Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas, his disciple, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. And this is where Jesus is talking about, that he would send a comforter to us, and that our bodies becomes the temple of God. And when we are the temple of God, we should want to keep it perfect and holy for him. We should not want to take and despise it or ruin it if we don't have to. Yes, in the physical world, we have sickness and we have ill health, but that's because of the sin that came into the world in the Garden of Eden. That's because Adam and Eve chose to sin and live in sin rather than in living for God and doing his will. They made that physical choice, and it was a choice which was a bad choice because it brought sin onto all people. So we have that sinful nature in us today, and it comes down all the way from Adam. And we find that sin in itself is the same over and over again. We find that sin in itself will try and do away with Christianity and with try and do away with religious freedom. We find that sin will take and attack the Christian and the believer. And as they attack the Christian and the believer, we find that, as Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. We find this happening more and more every day. We find that more and more states are saying we have to do the correct thing. And so they're passing the law on the gays and lesbian movement, that they have the same rights as the people, husband and wife, that may marry in the name of Christ. They say there is no God, yet they'll call upon God and they'll blame him when things go wrong. Yet you ask them, why did you want to do away with God? And they have no answer, or they'll say there is no God, but yet they will blame God for any of their problems. And we find that God has left many people because they have decided not to follow him. And so his Spirit has left them. And as that Spirit leaves them, they are then at the mercy of Satan himself. And God says, my time, I will only dwell so long, and I will only take so long when I will work with you. We see King Saul, the Spirit of God left him twice, and he did not realize it, but he continued doing his own thing, his way, thinking that God would bless him. And God says, I have taken your kingdom away from you because you have failed to stand up for me, and I have given it to another. We see David, which we see many times. We've used him in many different aspects, and we see the many things he did wrong. God did not cover up any of the sin that the Israelites did, but he laid them out there for you and I to see that we know those things are wrong. Yet David called upon God, he repented of his sins, and he wanted to follow God, and he was a man, his heart was after the Lord and the Lord only. So God blessed him and his kingdom as long as he lived. And he says, I will see that someone sits on the throne of David forever. We see when Christ comes, he will rule the world from Jerusalem, and he will sit there on the throne of David, and he will rule the world for 1,000 years in justice and in peace. We see that Christ himself will come again, and when he comes, he will judge each person according to their work. And we see this in so very plainly in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, you know, when the letters were written to the seven churches, and I'll use just Ephesus. There the angel comes to Ephesus, and Christ says, you know, you've done the great work for me, and you have been very diligent in spreading the word. Yet I have somewhat against you. And he says, you've lost your first love. Have you lost your first love? Have we taken and says, Lord, I believe you came and died for me, but you know there's so many things in the world I want to do, therefore I'm going to compromise and live a certain way that I don't really get into a lot of trouble. And evidently this is what the church of Ephesus was doing, and they're told, return to your first love. Return and repent. Repent of the sin that you have done. How many of us, if we are called to give a witness or a testimony of when we were first accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, can we get up and do that? Would we do it in joy? Would we do it in jubilance and say, this is how God saved me. This is how God not only used me, but he used me to show others that he is the God of God and Lord of lords, that he has sent Jesus into the world. I can remember when I was first convicted of sin, and I was trying to walk with the Lord, and yes, I backslid, and I had my brother come up to me, and he says, what happened to you? You've changed. And I says, you know, you guys have made so much fun of me. And he says, that's because we wanted what you have. Now that brother has accepted the Lord. I came back to Christ and I says, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, help me to live for you day by day. Help me to proclaim you and you only, because I am a sinner saved by your grace when you died on the cross of Calvary for me. Are we willing to stand up and give a testimony to those around us, whether it's at work or at home? Are we willing to give our testimony to our family and say, you know, God is coming again, and he will reward us, each one, according to our work, whether it's good or bad? And if you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord, are you willing to repent and ask him into your heart and your life, that he would have first place at all times? And we see this is what Jesus was telling the church of Ephesus. Repent and return to your first love. Return to the love that we have and the love that we have gotten from Jesus Christ himself and him alone. And we see too that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And as we come to that throne of grace, we are given the freedom to come to God the Father, the most important person, if you would call it that, in the whole universe, the one that created heavens and earth, the one that has given us everything we have. We have the freedom. We don't have to have an invitation, but we can come boldly to Him because we have Christ, His Lord and Savior, as our personal Lord and Savior. We are given then the freedom to come to Him. And I would like to read a little bit from Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 11 through verse 16. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You see, nothing that we have ever done can be hidden. Things that the Spirit of God has told us to do and we didn't do them will not be hidden. They will be brought out. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. This is calling us, come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of God, asking Him to help us, asking Him to help us each day, help us to keep our heart and our mind and our strength on Him and Him alone, because we can then do the things He wants us to do. That He would be the one, He will not condemn us, but He will help us through these trials in our lives. And we see Jesus not only prayed for His disciples, He prayed for us also. And that as we uphold Him in prayer and uphold what He has done for us in prayer, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And we can know that our bodies are not only the temple of God, but that God dwells with us through the Holy Spirit. He leads us and protects us and keeps us in all things. Help us, O Lord, to do Your will. Help us to not only repent of any ill dealings, but help us to do Your will, O God, and call upon You, that we come boldly to the throne of grace, because You know our life, You know how we are. And I pray, O God, You'll be with each one of us, not only today, but always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to page 500.